into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now knowledge in Strong's Concordance, and that's number 1847 if you want to look it up, means it is the word awareness. Awareness. So it says basically, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no awareness, no revelation. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Well, does that not speak of a need, a hunger? It's a hunger for the truth. You know, maybe hunger for, it's a hunger for the truth, because they don't know. Hosea 4:6, which most of you know, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and that word translates awareness also. So my people are destroyed for a lack of awareness. Hebrews 5:14 tells us, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. And I'll tell you, you all have been getting strong meat. You've been getting diving into the truth of the word and how that can change your lives. Okay? But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, and even those who by reason of use, you've been using it, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discern is Strong's number 1253, and that means totally separate. So for those by reason, strong meat belongs to them that are a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to separate totally. Is that both good and evil? Well, you've got to recognize it. That for sure is recognizing. When we don't know what's wrong, we can trust the Father. And you know, in all these years, you don't always know what's wrong. You know, what spirit is working here? What's happening? Hebrews 14:13 confirms that we can run to the Father. Neither is there any creature, or as we commonly might say, any yucky puck, there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows. He knows. And all we have to do is ask. Going to give you an example. I was going to give you my own, but I'm going to insert one. There was a lady who had cancer. This was not in this group, but it's in the same teaching. She had, I believe it was uterine, ovarian cancer, and was headed for surgery at some point. And she got the teaching about this and the roots of it. She dealt with it. And a few days later, as the routine was, her son-in-law, who had divorced her daughter, was dropping off the grandchild. The grandchild always ran right in. She never addressed her former son-in-law. So that day, after she had dealt with it, and after she had forgiven him, she ran out to the car. She said, I forgive you, and she embraced him. And there was healing. 2 days later, she went in for the surgery. They didn't do surgery. There was no cancer. You see, what happened was she lined herself up to let God do his work. She removed those obstacles. She recognized it. Sometimes we have to have help recognizing. So that's a wonderful testimony to the graciousness and the love of our Daddy, our Heavenly Father. I'm going to give you a little story of the onion peel. It's a good description of life. Life that has layers and layers of pain, unforgiveness, layers of broken relationships, and more stuff like that wrapped around the hearts, our hearts. And our hearts are broken. And most everybody here, at least who's been here, has had a broken heart. That's why we're all been here. And you've heard the saying, being hard-hearted, cold-hearted. Well, that comes from this. That's what it's all about. Over the years, many hurts and offenses have taken place, and in time, people protect themselves further from harm. They choose to close their heart, build walls of protection. But when, I've done that and we've all done it, when that's done, you actually seal the fear in. So all the more harm continues, okay? They have layers of bitterness, anger, fear, resentment, rejection, abandonment, and they all represent pain. Taking our sins, taking on sins that come out of relationships and situations. Now, the outer part of the onion is pretty easy to peel off. But when you get closer to the core, they're a little tighter. Okay? But that doesn't mean they won't go. It's the same dealing with pain in our broken hearts. Some traumas have been there for years, fermenting. We can't look at all the pain, the shame, and the fear at one time. Oh, God help us. You know what would happen? We'd probably all die if we had to look at all of it all at once. In His grace and His mercy, then we look at it when we're ready to. When He knows we're ready to. So recognizing is to identify a thing, a person, a result you've seen, or some experience that's some person, him or her, before. Something's happened before and you suddenly have a revelation of what was that. And it's important to know this is not just head knowledge. And I think as this revelation comes, we know it's not head knowledge, it's heart knowledge, which is what counts. Now your hypothalamus, in your back of your neck here, for those who don't know, responds to your thoughts, conscious and unconscious. That's why we want to take every thought captive. And that's every thought that's, I say conscious, unconscious, that's not what the word says, but every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And if you're all upset, then the cortisol begins to rise and in time will do real destruction to your body, left unchecked and unrepented of and not taking control of it. Okay, number two, after recognizing, you take responsibility. You have to take responsibility of what you've recognized. Jeremiah 18:8 says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. And of course, you all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. But you are responsible for your sin. Not to accuse somebody else, you're responsible. In Psalm 51:2-3, it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge, I recognize, take responsibility. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever in your sight. It's there. Okay. So we're going to take responsibility for it. And we take responsibility also in our generations. Because we can do that according to Nehemiah. I don't have that here right now. But. And then number three, we repent. You must repent to God for what you recognize. And I'm going to interject here. There is a teaching floating around the Christian churches, some of them, unfortunately, that says, you know, once you say, I accept Jesus as my Savior and your Lord, you don't have to repent. That is heresy. It is not the truth. Repentance is all through the New Testament, okay, as Christians. So, repent. Acts 3:19 reads, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And you know that relief and that precious presence of Him. So we repent, and number four is to renounce. Make what you recognize your enemy. Renounce it. Separate from it. Unhook from it. Okay? Fall out of agreement. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. And that's you. You love yourself. That's a big one. As well as others. So you fall out of agreement and remember that God loves that person. He loves you. Just got to let it go. Love yourself and others and move on. Love the, hate the sin, love the sinner. In Romans 7:14-25 was the teaching on separation. I encourage you to read that again. But it says, for what I do, I don't want to do. We know it's the enemy. So we love ourselves. We unhook from that. We say, no, I'm not going to agree with that anymore. And we renounce it. And then we remove it. That's what we've been doing. And you'll see this in a moment. I have something for you at the end of each session. Get rid of it once and for all. Break all soul ties also with those who are in bondage with us in order to get rid of the temptation to keep sinning. Now I'm going to interject something that's pretty strong. And that would include those that we have been intimate with other than the spouse that you're married to. Because you take in all their spirits. So, hey, you know, no condemnation. It's just something we want to get free of. Sin, and we are not to coexist. Okay? It's not us. So, all right. And the number six is resist it when it tries to come back. 1 Peter 5:6-9 tells us to humble ourselves. Then James 4:7 tells us to submit ourselves to God. See, we submit first. May not feel like it. We submit first and resist the enemy. Okay. Luke 11:24 tells us that when the unclean is cast out, they roam around seeking a place and say, I will return to my house whence I came out. So, it may be swept out, clean and empty, but you want it filled. So ask the Holy Spirit to clean you out and fill you up this precious, and then choose and walk and sow the word in. And the last, resist, and the last is, I guess not the last, seven is rejoice. Give God thanks for setting you free. In Isaiah 35:1, it says to give him thanks that we can be redeemed. And in Psalm 97:27 tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Give him thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And 8, I got so excited I shut it off and didn't put any notes at 8. 8 is restore. And that's what Tracy and Cynthia and I are doing and others here will do. It is restoring, and Monica is restoring others, you know. And when you're restoring, it doesn't mean you're now perfect. It means you're walking. It means you're walking. Along with the clatter, clatter, clatter. It's demonstrating walking. You can hear that. All right. So, I'll tell you a little story. I remember when I was in Georgia, there was a gentleman who did a teaching like we do different ones. And he was fine. He was okay. And the message got across. I wouldn't call him eloquent, but, you know, he did it. And in the middle of it, he said, I want to tell you why I'm teaching. Okay? He said, I'm teaching because this is part of my walkout. I am scared to death of speaking publicly, so I'm teaching. And he was walking out. Now, this is a man, because I knew them, I got to know them, who always put his head on his wife's shoulder, wouldn't stand up and really be the man in the family. And they had moved there. They were walking it out, and he was choosing. And I have even observed, he will sometimes go back and he would lay his head in church on his wife's shoulder, and she would lovingly push it up. But she loved him. She didn't dishonor him. They were walking. She's also the one, I will tell you, and I'll move on, who after she had freedom and a week of this, she went home and she was no longer gray. She was blonde. Dishwater blonde, but she was blonde. Her hair color had changed. God is a mighty God, but he cares about your heart, not the color of your hair. So anyway, all right. Now, I'm going to pass out a couple of things to you, or if you want to do this. These are fun things that just on the 8R, and we don't have enough, so we'll have to get more.
Yeah, I'll make some more copies.
And what I really, that is just fun. It reminds you. It has funny faces, and I want to credit Cynthia did this. I was so pleased. And then here's what I really want to pass out to you, and I'm going to show it here before I do. Now, I want to show you, this is the prayer that...
I'll send it to you, Monica.
This... This is the prayer that when you've been here and we've taught on a principality, and then we have led you in a prayer. You just never had the prayer in front of you. I gave it to Liberty last week. But this is what I kept handy because it is. It is a prayer of repentance and renunciation and then a prayer of deliverance. And you can do this. Now, you're going to hear from Cynthia on recognizing whether you know, seven steps to sin. Sometimes the devil tells us you hooked up and you really haven't. But you know what? Sometimes you have. Or you have a new revelation with that onion peel. I had a revelation 10 days ago that was 34 years old. Man, now that's a revelation. Now, it was joyful. I was so happy. Now I'm walking. It's not real easy, but you know what? I see the light at the end of the tunnel because Jeremiah tells me that God has a good plan for me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, he's out.